Hello everybody, this is Peter Smith and it's our Gwen and Peter Smith Aged Awareness Show again. It's now Saturday the 21st of December 2019, the following is a quotation from Dwayne Hepman's book, The Real Far Country, book 3 in the Amazing Romantic Adventures series. The real universal guide, Rebus Artars, is speaking to Dwayne at this point, and also Paul. What is not seen on the surface is that so many of these people are held back from realising their real experiences to show them the limitations of their rulers, especially those that are involved in the politics of destruction. The belief system businesses do not teach about the dreams that people are having and what they mean. Without some kind of understanding of one's dreams at night, there is no connection to other dimensions and positions for a person to relate to. So many of the nightly experiences that people are having reveal so much to them, and it is understandable that only a small portion of what is being experienced in the other worlds ever reaches a sensibility with one. The ancient doctrines of human history many times referred to dreams and some of their meanings, but today all of that is a huge taboo with those who control the masses. Paul, you will write a lot about dreams and what is taking place from so many areas of the psychic realms and even into the real universes. You will bring about a lot of knowledge from what I will share with you. This world is coming into a radical era of control that has not been seen before, because of the technology that is being invented. Atlantis destroyed itself the same way as what is taking place on Earth right now. The religious and political rulers will be bringing about a destructiveness that will appear to be from sources other than their own in the near future. They have already set their destructiveness into motion according to the direction of their secret societies. For the most part, these secretly held gatherings have been taking place for centuries and have been building upon themselves over lifetimes to the present day. As their intent to steal the will of others becomes obvious, there will be so many who will decide to become more aware and look past all the systems. Paul, when you create your presentation, the world will still be rather innocent, but as time and events contribute to one another, there will be a real shift in a terrorism that is being planned from internal sources, and most of the public will not see it coming because they will have put their trust in their political rulers that will betray them. As these old rulers leave the earth level, they will be taken directly to the bowels of the lower astral prisons, where they will have to deal with a variety of very awful conditions until their future lifetimes are set up for their repayment to the humans they destroyed. It will take these people lifetimes of processing through deformed bodily vehicles to where they can eventually balance out their karmic debts. The two of you will have your own special access to the universal files that reveals all psychic realm events and the actual circumstances that surround them. Of course, you will have Miss Ursha Dwayne and a host of others to assist you when your time comes, because you will have so much more to do, mainly from the real side. We see all the dark-hearted corruption that is taking place, and we are showing those who are willing to see the earth for what it really is, a way to survive the coming future. The political arena is adamantly controlled by the belief systems, even though it would appear from the public view that the political systems rule. The driving force of any of these systems is belief, hope, and faith, and a close study of human history will reveal this, as all three of these ideas are continuously used over and over again to fool the public with. The media is the prime source to the public and is controlled in such a way so that the onlooker is easily convinced about what they are seeing and hearing. There is a constant bombardment of subliminal imagery and frequency that is being fed to the minds of the public to keep them subject to a world of submission and artificial content. When you appear on the scene, Dwayne, your position will be the hardest. because of the materiality of the good life and most people's obsession with it. Paul will set the pace as the beginning, and you will follow up and strengthen what will begin to vanish sometime after Paul leaves. There is a dark force in this world that wants to make sure that everyone is blinded and only considers a striving for a better life here on earth. Dwayne will face this darkness head on and eventually handle it fine. The culprits that have been running the affairs of others against their will are going to realize that they will be returning in new body forms, which they will not like at all. Their life may look good now and they may be rich and influential, but as soon as they cross over and meet the Lords of Karma and their sentencing, their awareness will be locked into a rigidness of inescapable drudgery that will last for lifetimes, because their payment must be met head on. Rebazaar, I asked, do some of the politicians know anything about how life really works so that they can share the knowledge with their supporters? Some do, Dwayne, but they do not want to appear to be too different from the rest of their society, and they so fear the repercussions of those that hold their controlling positions. We have found that very few are willing to show any real courage, and those who want to usually back down so that their career is not in jeopardy. Again, those in the human awareness are usually very unwilling to see past their temporary life. It is all about the personal self on the earth level and not about real values. The real adventure is really ours, and those very few who are brave enough to weather the storm while they're on the earth. Those that take the easy way will have their heavenly home for a while, but they will return once again and unconscious of the fact of what they had decided in this life right now. This is why belief is a definite failure. Life is real and simply obvious, but the weak-minded continue to manipulate their artificial reality into something that will sustain them for a while, but they will always end up meeting their own failure. The reality that is genuine is hidden from those who put their ego first. Mankind will never learn from his own history of failures. This is a definite truth on the earth. All people are having real experiences, but their upbringing has been such that they are not taught to pay attention to what is taking place within them. Instead, their real side is confused with a lot of emotional and mental attachments to things that imply a limited position. Therefore, you find that religion is simply a social institution, demonstrably and so true of the Western religions, and woven through those in the Oriental countries. Name one religion which is in existence today, and I will show you that it is a product of nothing more than the social consciousness of humans instead of the real truth, the sound light reality from the all is. All laws which are called the laws of their appointed gods and deities are hardly anything except the evolution of the blindly motivated social consciousness. From the law of Manu to the code of Hammurabi, the law of Moses and the canons of the Christian Church, what do they really represent as real value? Nothing more than rules and regulations of the priestcraft to oversee and control their followers for a political and economic hold over the multitudes. Phoebe Quantz very well knew this in his day when he was challenged by the people to open ministry. Most people would cling to what others agree to no matter what they are shown. What has been more hideous than the caste system established by the law of Manu, or the civil restrictions set by Hammurabi's code, or the refusal implicated in the laws of Moses, or the moral issues issued by the Christian canons? All these issues are nothing but restrictions. There is very little, if any, freedom in these institutions, which appear to be so beneficial on the surface. So this leads us to the set of principles laid down by Jesus on the Mount. Here was a man that did have courage, but he decided certain events on his own and now has to deal with them. The church that hated him and the people that tried to use him at the time of his appearance on earth are the very same people that have promoted him as their god for hundreds of years. After he left, it was secretly decided by the church that he would make an excellent marketing ploy as a way to gain supporters for the improvement of their finances. Jesus was getting closer to the truth than those who preceded him, but his laws were merely for the unfoldment of the socially bred human to abide to, sweetened for the listener's ear in another fashion. What he said was that one must do it his way, or they do not enter into his heaven. The indoctrinated church destroyed the saviors and saints of the past because those unique individuals that took on the courage to provide some form of truth to the masses were becoming too popular and bad for business. The church rulers could easily see that if they let the truth bearers have their way, the church would lose its position of control and power. So being the rulers they are over the hearts and minds of even the politicians, they contrived the idea to eliminate those who would stand in their way by a means that would not reflect upon the church. The church ordered the execution to be done by the political systems that were already feared by the public, so it wouldn't matter if they were to blame, because it would all appear to be justifiable. This is always how the influence of the gods of man works its way into the hearts and minds of the unaware. Because most people are not able to get to the real truth, they must settle for something of no value that appears to be a truth. This thread of conspiracy has weaved its way through mankind's history as the main predominating force and expanded into today. End of quotation. It never ceases to amaze me just how short-sighted and just plain ignorant most, if not all, of our supposed political leaders can be in the almost universal lack of awareness they exhibit in their pursuit of power, greed, and self-serving advancement. They do not seem able to see beyond the end of their noses as to the inevitable consequences of their Faustian pact with the devil. The devil being the dark forces who pull their strings and have done on this planet for millennia for their own nefarious ends of world domination. In fairness, it seems many of them are blackmailed into serving their masters after having been tempted into compromising situations, then held in thrall by the evidence that can be pursued to destroy their careers and turn off the money tap. We are, as I record this, in the wake of yet another general election here in the UK. Even though Boris Johnson has secured a quite remarkable majority, and for public consumption seems set on getting us out of Europe, the ultimate outcome will be much the same, as we move inexorably towards the much heralded world fascist government. My family and I, at least by not voting, will not be exhibiting agreement to a system determined to destroy our way of life and make slaves of those who survive the numerous attempts at mass murder caused by war, manufactured disease, poisoning of our food and water and air, and mass radiation brought on by 5G and similar delights. This election was primarily about Brexit, that endless battle to leave the European Union, now well into its fourth year, no doubt making us the laughingstock of the world and the exasperation of the EU. In the referendum, my family and I all voted to leave and were amazed when the powers that be had obviously miscalculated in their arrogance, and the leavers in the referendum outnumbered the remainers by a comfortable margin. Unsurprisingly, the Prime Minister at the time, David Cameron, quickly resigned, leaving everybody else to clear up the mess. The point is, and this is emphasised by the fact that probably a majority of politicians and the mega-rich, who also owe their positions to the aforementioned devil, leaving the EU is a mega-step in the wrong direction, and those who are working towards the world government. We've been under no illusion since the start that should Brexit, after every conceivable attempt at slowing it down and indeed trying to force reverse in the result by a better rigged referendum, finally happen, it will never be allowed to succeed. At best, it will buy us a little more time. Rather fascinatingly, in perhaps an unguarded moment on live TV, recently, before election day, Boris Johnson, the incumbent Prime Minister, and perhaps oddly sworn supporter and intended producer of Brexit, let drop a revealing statement in the House of Commons, something I suspect that will never be shown again. In an argument with Kenneth Clark, well-known Conservative elder statesman and Remainer, and dubbed the father of the House, he said words to the effect of, "I don't mean the government, but those above it." To this Clark blustered twice, "Rubbish!" Who could Johnson, who hastily moved on to something else, possibly have meant? It is apparent that on taking office, our so-called leaders are taken to one side and spoken to put them in the picture, as to who or what is actually in charge. I often imagine, perhaps fancifully, a new Prime Minister alone one evening in his darkened office, suddenly being aware of a sinister being emerging, like Jacob Marley's ghost, from the shadows and putting him in the picture. Be that as it may, there is evidence from a whistleblower in the White House, obscured from view in a phone box, who was suddenly aware of the newly elected Barack Obama being escorted down a corridor and taken into a side room by the now deceased and unlamented George Bush Sr., former President of the USA and earlier head of the CIA, the Gestapo on steroids. On re-emerging, Obama, now on his own, was heard sobbing to himself, "So I'm only to be a front man." It was also interesting to see the sudden change that came over Donald Trump on achieving the presidency, from the overconfident billionaire with some promising sounding ideas. Did he really think he would be able to put an end to fake news, to a very sullen and disappointed looking man announcing he had changed his mind on, I think it was, Syria? He had, of course, had it changed for him by his real masters. As has often been remarked, why would our world leaders have the need for secret societies? Why indeed? There is a phenomenon known as Bilderberg, from a hotel in Switzerland where it first materialised in the 1950s. Every year, world leaders, billionaire company owners and others considering themselves the elite, attend by invitation a meeting in some hotel in a different country each time. The meetings are shrouded in secrecy, and their agendas never published, but evidently concern the fate of the rest of us poor devils, according to whistleblowers. A few years ago, 2013 in fact, the Bilderberg Group met in Watford, some 30 or so miles from where we are here in the UK. Accordingly, an unusually sunny July Saturday afternoon saw us pile into my ancient Volvo station wagon and bombing down to the place concerned. Having eventually found a parking place, we followed the crowd and queued up for some time in the road. I was surprised to see more police than I ever had in my life, supported by a long convoy of parked police vans. They were obviously expecting trouble. Eventually we reached the entrance to a field, not before being treated to the disgusting display of five burly policemen and a policewoman physically harassing a young girl bearing a fairly innocent placard. It brought it home to me then what the UK had now become. It was not difficult to visualise SS men with some poor victim. Although the police were as yet still unarmed, it obviously is only a question of time. As we worked our way up a short lane, we were confronted by a desk facing us with two or three officials. We were frisked and then baggage examined. We were not allowed to take any bottled water in, despite it being a warm day, all of which made us feel like common criminals. Clearly the whole setup was intended to demoralise and humiliate, if not actually deter us. Nevertheless, we then made our way into what proved to be an extremely large field, already nearly full of people of all ages, mostly sitting down expectantly looking at newcomers. To the left of the way in was a low podium with microphones on it. Much further off left, over one or more neighbouring fields, and about a mile away, could be seen a large hotel, apparently the location of the dubious, and so I have heard, totally illegal, gathering of leaders from all over the world, discussing apparently the future of the forlorn and doomed planet. Police were again much in evidence, situated like guards around the perimeter of our field. They must have been very disappointed that afternoon, as it passed without any incident and was totally peaceful, so their black mariahs parked outside went hungry that day, with the possible exception of the harmless girl we saw outside the entrance. Our police, once the envy of the world and justifiably our great pride, were now reduced to stormtroopers. The British Bobby now wore invisible jackboots. There were several guest speakers who came and went, including Alex Jones and David Icke. The latter got a standing ovation, and at one point, directing himself at the nearest stormtroopers, he said to much applause, "You should be protecting us from them," indicating the hotel, not them from us. One or two stormtroopers shuffled with embarrassment. As I said, the afternoon passed without the slightest trouble, and we eventually went home. Despite the mega police presence and the high number of VIPs, so-called, in the hotel, no doubt at great expense to us taxpayers, there was not the slightest reference to it on the TV that evening. Well, there's a surprise. Henry Ford, controversial founder of the Ford Motor Company and great innovator of many things, most famously the assembly line for vehicle manufacture, once said, "History is bunk." For a long time I wondered what he meant by that, but over the last few years it has been slowly drip-fed to me how right he was. It has often been said that history is written by the victors. If you substitute the true owners of the world for victors, you will not be far wrong. All our knowledge and information comes via those who have a vested interest in what they want us to know, usually via the medium of the mainstream news nowadays. How can we possibly know the real truth? Fortunately for us, there is, for the moment, the so-called alternative media, but this will not be allowed to continue indefinitely, and more laws are filtering through to effectively end it. Otherwise, we have to rely on whistleblowers, and they are not usually allowed to survive very long either. Henry Ford was a self-made millionaire and very much his own man, and kept his company on a tight rein. I suspect he did not fully, if at all, toe the party line with his outspoken opinions, and hence was always a target for accusations of racism and whatever else the media lackeys could throw at him. Throughout our history, organised religion has tended to a greater or lesser extent to dominate our lives, and indeed greatly influence the directions taken by our politicians and other so-called leaders, not least the crowned heads of Europe and elsewhere, invariably to the detriment of their sheep-like underlings who, due to a desperate need to find some meaning to all the misery in their lives, tend to cling on to every word of the self-appointed so-called elite, in a hope for some form of ultimate salvation. It is rather like the idea that the more disgusting the medicine tastes, the more it must be doing you good. I am willing to accept that the founders of the world's great religions all started with the best of intentions, but they were very quickly pushed aside by the inevitable few who gradually distorted and sometimes blatantly changed the belief systems for their own political, financial, military and other ends. One of the best examples, if not the best example of this, is the Christian Church. Historians disagree on the likely identity of the man called Jesus. Some even doubt he even existed at all. The most popular view is that he did exist, though not impossible, it is hard to see how such a huge total myth could have made such a mark, and that he was just one of a number of rabble-rousers known to have been around at the time, albeit a very charismatic one. It seems the most popular candidate was born on the 1st of March AD 7. This is not so absurd as it might seem, particularly to the faithful, when you realise for the first four centuries his birth was indeed celebrated in March. 25th of December replaced this with the takeover of the religion by the Romans, and was a way of netting in more believers, as it had been a pagan ceremony for centuries before, a celebration of the coming of the longer days. The Christian Church by then a force to be reckoned with. It had become adept in removing rivals, most notably the Gnostics, who were forced underground together with their now outlawed belief in reincarnation, was clever in taking over other long-held religious festivals and beliefs. Another example is Easter. Since Easter Sunday can be held on any date over a period of 6 weeks, being the first Sunday after the first full moon following the spring equinox, It is hard to see how it could take place on a fixed date following the Friday when their supposed founding father was executed. Yet another example is the virgin birth, an idea that has been a central feature in various earlier religions since time immemorial. In truth, there is a small amount of evidence to suggest Mary was raped by a Roman soldier. And what's this so-called Immaculate Conception anyway? One of the most seriously damaging legacies we have been handed down and perpetuated by the Christian Church is the idea that the most natural and beautiful act of reproduction, and indeed the naked human body, are in some way dirty, tainted with original sin. The human being is the only animal in the world that appears to believe that. The Christian Book of Rules, the modern Bible, is a shadow of its original form, whole sections having been removed and other pages torn out that did not accord to the new Roman Church's misogynistic and other narrow-minded world view. Some of the believed 30 or so Gospels, you may recall there are now only 4 in the Bible, that were so exorcised, have now come to light, and apparently make interesting reading indeed. Most notable, to my mind, are those pertaining to Judas Iscariot, who seems not to have been the pantomime villain we all love to hate, after all, but rather Jesus' most faithful male disciple, and Mary Magdalene, who was Jesus' virtual mentor and probable wife. Indeed, before the Roman takeover, there is much evidence the movement was very feminine geared. Witness the numerous ancient churches that have Madonna statues in them. There seems to have been a convenient and deliberate blurring of the two Marys to confuse the issue. In fact, this is another example of a terrible legacy perpetuated by the Roman Church, that women are in some way inferior to men, and indeed to be treated as their goods and chattels. It has taken 2 millennia to start to shake off this erroneous and, to my mind, downright wicked belief. Who in their right mind can believe in or in any way accept such a religion? Fortunately, it is at last beginning to face its demise as more people are belatedly starting to wake up. I hope it is not too late. The final matter, but perhaps ultimately the most important I wish to deal with here, is the Christian idea of death and what follows. First, let it be said in fairness that followers of any religious belief are at least approaching the truth, since most, if not all, suggest there is some form of survival after the demise of the physical body. The faithful, therefore, at least one step ahead of those who insist death is the end. Full stop. Good night, Vienna. As this essay has already been proven to be a lot longer than I expected, I am going to cut to the quick and say I have absolutely no doubt that not only do we, that bundle of indestructible energy that cannot be destroyed, survive death, but inevitably, if we do not realise we can avoid it, we reincarnate on this or other similar planets to go through it all again, suffering as we do from enforced amnesia, in an endless procession of existence on this lowest of planes. Many good books are available on both reincarnation and the interlife experience, and it is outside the scope of this present missive to say any more about either, save the following. If you want to get off the so-called wheel of samsara, as the Indians call it, then you have to make contact with those higher beings known as the real universal guides. These are not the spirit guides we all have who are there, whether we believe it or not, to help us, should we call upon them, in our daily struggle for existence. These are the vastly advanced beings, emissaries of the very source of existence, and referred to by Duane Hepner as the All Is, in his wonderful series of books and elsewhere. As Duane tells us, there are many more planes of existence above this one, the next 4 in fact still being part of creation, and subject to the laws of cause and effect, and or karma, as the Asian religions call it. What goes around comes around. The ultimate goal is to leave even these otherwise beautiful realms. Only the second one, the astral plane, approximates to the Christian heaven in its upper levels. But as those who go there, as me do, soon find out, it is only temporary. You'll be back here again soon enough. Once you are shown the way by the real guides, having satisfied them of your pure intent, you will eventually reach the first of the real universes, and from then on the universes are your oyster. freedom from all rules and restrictions. To contact the real guides, the best thing you can do is sing or say audibly or in your head regularly, ideally before going to sleep and on first awakening, new you, you, you. This is in effect a signal to them that you really mean business and are ready to make the most incredible journey imaginable. Eventually you will start remembering more of your dreams, which the real guides will fill with coded messages. If you cannot understand them, check out the new you, you on the internet and either get hold of the books or directly contact the new you people. I hope this has been of interest. If only one person finds it helpful, then it will have achieved its goal.